and welcome again to the Essential Install podcast series. With this series of podcasts, we generally cover CI industry associations, distributors and manufacturers, and even topics such as how lighting affects your well-being. But this mini-series of podcasts is something slightly different. This series is dedicated to our sister exhibition, EI Live, the only dedicated AV and home automation exhibition in the UK. EI Live is in fact in its 10th year and has grown over that period, with a regular 300 to 400 brands on show. Together with the Technical Theatre Learning Zone taking centre stage on the show floor, there is something for all integrators and installers. As most of you know, the show is taking place at the Farnborough International Exhibition and Conference Centre on the 29th and 30th of September this year, so don't forget to book your free ticket online. In this series, we are talking to specific exhibitors on their preparation for the event and what brands they will be showing on their stand at the show. So today we're focusing on AWE Europe, and I'm joined by Stuart Tickle, owner and proprietor of AWE, and his colleague James Drummy. Welcome, Stuart. Welcome, James.
Thanks, David.
Hi, David.
So, Stuart, James, obviously we've had 18 months of lockdown. How did AWE weather the storm? I know you did because you're still here, but...
Yeah, absolutely. Incredibly well. Yeah, I'm always mindful that people, you know, many may have had a much harder time, particularly on a personal level. So I'm going to sort of keep this on the business side because that's where the question is. But obviously, yeah, not going to miss the opportunity to thank those who have helped the whole country get through it and, you know, take note of those who have had a much harder time.
Absolutely.
But on a pure business level, it has, after the initial lockdown, which was obviously that stay-at-home message, which had a massive impact for everyone in our industry.
And did the business, like a lot of people, did the business literally drop off a cliff?
Yeah, pretty much. As soon as that stay-at-home message came, vast majority of integrators couldn't and didn't visit homeowners. There was some who were able to continue because it was either, you know, no residential people on site, so there were more building sites which continued. So there was some integrators that managed to carry on with some jobs. But yeah, it was a substantial loss of business overnight, unprecedented really, that continued really from that last, was it last week of March, and then went right through the next couple of months.
You're more nearer the coalface, as it were, than I at the moment. But I haven't heard of too many casualties. No, too many companies have gone out of business, have they?
Well, I think the thing that happened during that period, different companies took different approaches, but the question we were having, asking amongst ourselves, and obviously everyone was asking, is how deep is this and for how long? I think with regards to the casualties, no, we haven't seen many on our from our customer base. But you know, weak companies were severely weakened, so it exposed all those cracks more, like the previous recession, you know, the banking crisis. If you're already weak, then it's going to expose all that those issues more. But I think companies that had a strong underlying base were able to bounce back well. And I have to say, whatever anyone says about the way it's been handled by the government, the furlough scheme was instrumental from our point of view in both helping lots of companies get through a period of time, you know, over a year.
I think it saved the day to a large extent, didn't it?
Yeah, well, it meant, so we took an approach which was, you know, why do I sit here now and say we've done incredibly well? And it's because we took an approach during that lockdown which was, you know, minimal furlough. So although it was there for us, it gave us the reassurance that we could keep our foot on the pedal, basically, with full efforts engaging and supporting both our own staff, but also our integrators and customers. So we converted all our training to online, obviously. It's over 400 hours of small group training in that first few months, not just webinars to mass groups. This was proper training, as best as you could do, to a group of 4 or 8 people. And James can give you a bit more detail on that. But that's still going.
I think a lot of people eventually got webinared out, though, didn't they?
That's why we did it a little bit different, David, because, you know, from very early doors, you could see these mass webinars. It was, you know, everyone was doing them. And yeah, as you say, people were getting webinared out. So the way that we tried to do our training was very small groups, but much like a Teams meeting or a Zoom meeting, you'd have 4 or 6 integrators with me, but they're on the other side of the camera. So it was more like a classroom training session. And then we would go through, you know, whether I was doing home cinema projection or doing the home cinema audio side or some of the courses the other guys were doing on control and security type products. We've always kept it and are continuing to do that to this day as small group training within the sort of Teams infrastructure, if you like.
I noticed that, in talking to a lot of distributors and, generally industry people, there was a lot of refurbishing going on of showrooms during the lockdown for obvious reasons. Did you guys get involved in any refurbishment down there?
No. We already had a great showroom, and we're constantly updating it and upgrading it. So, you know, the fact that people weren't doing it, we were all so busy during that time, as I say. So it's not like we were feet up not doing anything. The amount of workload during that time for the vast majority of our staff, which we kept on payroll. So there were some that were furloughed because obviously reps couldn't visit customers. So there's not a lot of point having a traveling sales representative out on a road with nobody to visit. So those guys were obviously furloughed, but in the office, we were all mainly doing something else, whether that was training or on a management level, working out, you know, from a business point of view, working out different plans as to, like I say, how long and how deep was this going to be, how to survive in the worst case scenario. But actually, the plan from the start was, okay, this is unlikely to be forever. We have to make sure that we are prime position to come out strong when business does come back, however many months that might be. Because we knew the country couldn't, you know, unless it got really bad, as in we had no, there was no solution, in which case we were all goners anyway. So on the basis that we were going to come out at some point, we were all busy working on that, engaging with customers, keeping doing what we're doing. So refurbishing didn't cover it.
That was the key, wasn't it? Just making sure that when it does all come back, that you can hit the ground running.
For us, that's what happened. Literally, within that, after that first couple of months, it did. It didn't just bounce back. It completely bounce back for the positive. It was a good job that we put that additional infrastructure in to be able to, because obviously there was still the work from home thing, and when it got busier, we were ready to go.
Well, that was actually going to be my next comment, coming up to the present day.
So, David, before you get to there, haven't quite finished your question. Have we done any refurbishment? We hadn't done any refurbishment during lockdown.
Oh, so you have since.
We are currently in the process of completely renovating and refitting the reference cinema.
Really?
Yes.
Brilliant. Talking about the business coming back big time, we as publishers are seeing it's going unbelievably, it's going through the roof actually. And a lot of industry people are telling me that the industry, i.e. the CI, custom install residential industry, is now booming. You guys, I guess, are experiencing the same thing.
Yes. And that started June last year. We were well up prior to lockdown. Lockdown hurt us substantially for 2 months, but we immediately returned in June to growth on a month-by-month basis, which meant that actually the year, our financial year that incorporated the lockdown, was still, you know, a positive year for us. So it dented our growth, but it didn't result in a calamity, which, yeah, we're very grateful for. And thank you to our customers for continuing to, you know, buy from us when they could.
A lot of people were attending, you know, spending money on their own homes, weren't they? I passed a billboard the other day, and it was a great phrase, and it said, "Don't move, improve." And I guess that's what the majority of people were doing, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. So the short-term gain was everyone realising the value of their home. Even if they were furloughed, they were on 80 to 100% pay with less ways of spending their money. They're spending more time at home. So clearly that led to people spending money in ways that they could. And at that point, initially, it was just buying, you know, the online companies benefited initially because that was just people buying tellies for the extra room to keep the kids occupied whilst they're working and living in the living room type scenario. But obviously that then evolved into integrators being able to go back in people's homes and those with disposable income spending it on home improvements. So I don't know if you tried it, if you tried buying a trampoline, a garden table, a bag of sand, some bricks, let alone getting your home installation done, it's still difficult. And that's partly because supply has been somewhat disrupted more by pandemic than Brexit, you know, many say. But the reality is it's the demand is through the roof as well. So it's that combination of things that is meaning business is substantially up, massively up. We're able to facilitate it through the work that went in previously. So the foundation that we put in with all the transition to online, you know, IT systems, infrastructure, cloud phone systems, and all of that meant we could deploy it all very quickly and benefit, you know, immediately. I think keeping everybody or the majority on work helped that.
Well, no one was more pleased than my wife, let me tell you, with the money I spent on our house.
Yeah.
However, I was going to ask a question. Have you taken on any new brands over the past 18 months to 2 years? But I see today it's been announced that AWE have been appointed the exclusive distributor for Bowers & Wilkins. Congratulations, chaps.
Thank you very much. So that's for the custom install channel. So Bowers & Wilkins and Rotel is now exclusively distributed through AWE for the custom install channel.
That just adds to your already incredible portfolio, doesn't it? How many brands have you got down there these days? Have you lost count?
Yeah, I was just going to say yes. It's not that there are many.
You're a man of few words.
Yeah, as you know. It's not kind of a list. There is a very comprehensive portfolio, but the reason we win distribution of brands like Sony and Bowers & Wilkins and Rotel and the other great brands that we represent is because those are key brands that need to be treated in their entirety as a brand. So we do not go down a list. If you look through our brand list, you will see a very high quality portfolio without too much overlap, because it's important that we do represent the brands to the best, because if they're putting their trust in us to represent them exclusively in a channel, then it's important that we are able to focus on job.
To use that word, exclusive to them, really, and not have any conflicting products, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I will ask the question, James. What other brands have you taken on in the last 18 months, 2 years?
Yeah, in the last 18 months, I think that the big one is the Bowers & Wilkins. We haven't really taken on anything else. We have had an awful lot of new product come through. So, during the whole of the last 12 months, I think that the entire range of pretty much every TV that we do, from LG, Panasonic, Sony, that whole range has changed. We've had a complete revamp of the Sony 4K projectors. But as in new brands as such, apart from the Bowers & Wilkins news, we haven't had any additions to that. It's kind of focus on quality rather than just picking up brands for brand's sake.
So literally everything's been updated then.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely incredible that, people like, Sony's a great example of how to deal with the supply chain, because with the, if you take their projectors as an example, because they make all of their own core technologies in Japan, the actual distribution process of Sony projectors has been one of the least impacted of the whole lockdown and chip shortages and shipment problems and all of that kind of stuff. So Sony not only have been able to, with the projectors, continue getting good supply, they've completely been able to change their range. So we've got whole new products and pretty good supply of the entire range. So that's been really good for us. Now, I'm not saying that every brand we do is faultless on this. The chip shortages are a problem, but for certain brands, we've not had any issues at all. But yeah, I do understand that we can't say that.
So we've got, as an example there, it's not a new brand, but Professional Bravia from Sony is an entirely new range that we've taken on board from an existing brand that we deal with. So we've always done Sony consumer TVs, and a few years ago took on the distribution of the Sony projection products, which
4K,
is from Professional. Yeah, it's all native 4K lamp and laser projection. But we have just started ranging in the last few months the Professional Bravia products. And the reason is because there's a distinct range which is differentiated from the consumer models, being the BX range, or the BX series, which is monitors. They're monitors, they're not TVs, but all their full smart functionality and IP control is still there. But also they do a 32-inch 4K screen, which you can't get in the consumer models, but also a very affordable 100-inch 4K screen, which also isn't available through the consumer lineup. And that screen now, that's only somewhere in the region of 15 grand. Whereas about two years ago, we were selling a 98-inch TV for about 80.
Really?
So we're taking that on, and obviously they're selling.
Wow, that's a hell of a brand, hell of a series of products in that brand, isn't it?
It is indeed, and we're very strong partners as a result.
So how are the preparations going for EI Live, gents? What are you planning for the event? I mean, I guess, well, I don't know, a question really. You have the largest footprint on the show floor, and I think probably, Stuart, have done ever since I launched the show 10 or 12 years ago. But can you show all of your brands there, or are there too many literally to take along with you?
All of our brands will be represented there, but we're going to be showing, like, the village will be, certain areas will be specific to brands, but there will be incorporated in other stuff. So we're going to have a sort of an automation and control area. So that's for things like our URC control products, for the Philips Hue lighting systems, for your Silent Gliss, for the Ring and Ring X-Line products. Then we're going to have two cinema rooms. So there'll be an Epson cinema, which will have some Definitive Technology audio in it. And then we'll have a Sony projection room, which will have some Bowes & Wilkins in it. And then we'll also have a large area dedicated to Sound United, which Sound United, if you don't already know, is the brands, Denon, Marantz, Definitive Technology, Bowes & Wilkins. So there'll be Rotel, that will all be there as a large area on the other side of the stand. So there's kind of six sort of distinct areas across the stand you'll see, and every brand will be showcased there. And then in the middle of the stand, you'll also have all of the TV brands shown there. So that'll be the Sony TVs and the Pro monitors. We'll have the LG products, including their OLED and Gallery OLED product, and the Panasonic TVs will all be in the middle area as well. So everything will be represented, even if it will only be a couple of bits, but obviously with what we do. But you'll see all of the kind of flagship products from every brand that we
just
do.
Just kind of shows everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be the key highlights. I mean, there's no point in us turning up and just looking, you know, you can't show everything from every brand, but we want to be sure to show the key highlights, the newest, most interesting products. You know, showing a product that somebody's seen buys every day, you know, isn't necessarily essential, whereas showing them what's different and what's evolved certainly is. And we'll also have points of interest outside of normal AV products. So obviously we did take on, and we didn't list it in the brands there, but Base Performance Simulators.
Yes, yes.
Is a brand that we've taken on within the last 18 months as well. So it's not from your standard electronics side of things. It's custom products and bespoke products for simulator enthusiasts.
Will you have the simulator at the show?
Yeah, so we'll be bringing the BPS Blade, which is about a 22 grand customizable race sim. And that's the, believe it or not, that's the entry level product from them. They only do simulators that meet very high standards using the best pedal sets, steering wheel processors, and so on. So, yep, we will have that there. And we'll be running throughout EI, our BPS and AWE Sprint Cup. So expect to see you on there, David.
I'll be there. I'll be there, Stuart.
Yeah, so heads up for people. It's the Brands Hatch GP circuit.
It has reverse and everything, doesn't it? I'm all okay for that.
Yeah, it does have reverse. Yeah, yeah. You might be beached in the gravel, but...
Well, of course, the Brands Hatch, I mean, you probably know, I used to race motorcycles, and the Brands Hatch Grand Prix circuit, I know very, very well. I won there many times, dare I say. That was on a bike, though. That was two wheels.
That's fighting talk, isn't it?
Yeah, my expectations have just gone through the roof in terms of what you're going to achieve. It will be in a car, though.
What's the prize? Is there a grand prize for the who comes out on top of that?
Yeah, so the top three are going to have a private session at Base Performance Simulators in Banbury in their full custom sims, which are range between 100 and 500 grand, depending on what you do. But that will be their GT. So you'll actually be sitting in a real Aston Martin Vantage GT4.
So that's the prize, is it, to the first three?
The first three go into a shootout there.
Wow.
So that will be with, you will actually get proper training because they're the...
Yeah, one of their performance engineers will be in your ear, if you're one of them, you know, giving coaching tips. And then it will be kind of a faster slap shootout to see who's learnt the most that morning. So there'll be several hours going up there. So the three winners or the three leaders will be going up there to see who ends up on the top step.
Oh, I'll be there for that, absolutely. Although I have to say, with the two-wheel racing I used to do, I lost quite a bit of skin on clear ways coming out into the main straight, but hey-ho.
Yeah, I think I can still see that scuff, actually, on the simulator. The detail is so great.
That's going to be great, actually. I mean, that is something, and quite obvious thing to say. I'd like to be promoting the hell out of that, you guys, so Can we have something specific press release wise or something of some such like that we can promote that and get people in that competition? I'm guessing it's open to everybody or just AWE dealers?
So the actual competition is open to integrators. Obviously, they need to take priority versus suppliers, because obviously the main concept of us bringing base performance simulators to the industry is to enable integrators to sell them to their end users of wealth.
The money clients.
Yeah, absolutely.
And are they going well?
Yeah. We've had such a good response to the launch.
It's a great toy to have, isn't it?
It is. And you know, we always like to think we're leading the way in most areas, in many areas. And, you know, we can't be first with everything, but certainly bringing a sim to the market during periods of lockdown, I think you'll agree, was, you know, quite a good strategy. And the good thing is, though, it wasn't just, you know, we were already well on it. You can't just flip something like that around so quickly. And actually, our relationship with Base Performance Simulators goes right back to their first beginnings. And it's actually co-owned by Darren Turner, who's an Aston Martin Works at Le Mans class winning driver, 3 times winning. So the sim was developed for professional race drivers, and this is, yeah, the blade that we'll have there is a accessible version of that, but it uses all the same theories and concepts and tuning that he's put in, knowing from doing thousands and thousands of laps of circuits in the car that you know, this is replicating.
Well, let's hope I don't run out of fuel on the last lap then, eh?
Yeah, I've never known you run out of steam yet, David.
And of course, turning the questions, not questions really, but already said, we've got the Technical Theatre Learning Zone. You guys are, I'll use the word hosting, we've got an AWE panel discussion on large format displays, what's best, where and why. Do you want to give us a little flavour of that? Because there's 4 or 5 of you on the panel, isn't there?
Yeah, so there's myself, we've got some representatives from Sony, from both the projection and also from the professional division. So it will cover the micro LED direct view, so in Sony terms, crystal LED display. And I believe we have an integrator from Juiced as well joining us to give the installer's perspective on it. So, you know, the idea of these things is to cover important topics. You know, will large format replace projection? Is 8K important on large format? So it's not intended to be, because it is a seminar, you know, whilst we're obviously representing and, you know, the companies we represent, we want it to be an informed, informational session. It's not a sales pitch. It is talking about the real questions and challenges. And in fact, I'll invite anyone, you know, there probably is a Q&A at the time, but if anyone has specific topics and areas of questions they want us to address on it, then, you know, if I can use this platform to invite them to send those questions through.
That's a good call, actually, because we are now starting to promote the technical theatre. We've got sessions. I think we've got 16 sessions running throughout the 2 days, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, a Q&A is always good at the back, isn't it? Because you're going to get the integrators going to want to ask you guys questions.
EI Live is the UK's only dedicated AV and home automation exhibition, taking place on the 29th and 30th of September this year. There are some 400 brands on show from all the top distributors and manufacturers, together with the EI Live Technical Theatre, taking centre stage on the show floor, presenting top industry speakers. The show is a must-go to for all AV and home automation integrators and installers. Architects and interior designers will also benefit from visiting the show. To register for your free ticket, go to eiliveshow.com.
James, we alluded to the refurbishment earlier on and the refurbishment of the one of your cinema rooms down at AWE. Tell us a little bit about what the installers and integrators can expect to see.
So it's a complete refurbishment. So there'll be a totally new look and feel to the room. We'll have Bowers & Wilkins cinema speakers all round. So that'll be 7 speakers at ear level, 6 ceiling speakers, 4 subwoofers are going in. We'll have a multiple projector system, so we'll be able to show various levels of Sony 4K projection in that room. And we'll be using Marantz processing and Rotel amplification.
Well, pretty damn impressive, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to look and sound absolutely fantastic.
And when do you think that might be finished?
We're hoping mid-September, so probably around your exhibition, we'll be ready to go.
Wonderful. I don't know what you're doing about, I mean, as everybody knows, I'm sure they all know about the AWE Expo. Have you shelved that for this year, or are you going to kind of bring it back to coincide with that, the launch, as it were, of the new cinema room, or are you waiting till next year for the Expo?
I think with the timing of the way everything's falling this year, with Cedia Tech Forum coming up beginning of September, you've got EI Live at the end of September, we're then straight into October, and there's a lot to show people. So I think we're likely to take the approach where, having refitted, it's also the comfort level for people. We think rather than a traditional expo, we'll be inviting dealers down to experience, you know, smaller group sessions. So it's not completely ruled out. I just think integrators are so busy at the moment. There's some key events where we can do the big showcase, show and tell already. So to try and squeeze one in before the end of the year, might be pushing it to do it in the normal function.
It's almost, when you get that done, it's almost by appointment then, I guess, is it?
Yeah, I mean, the show facility is, you know, apart from the performance cinema, the show facility, since the kind of restrictions lifted, is fully open. But we are finding a by appointment works best at the moment anyway. People can turn up, but really it's by appointment so that we can prep the area, because I still think it's right at the moment to, you know, restrictions are lifted, but we still have a responsibility to visitors and to our own staff to make sure that we're, you know, not just letting everyone off the leash. It's up to people if they choose to go to pubs and clubs and rub themselves against each other, that's fine. But in the work environment, we want to make sure that it's managed on a daily basis, fully accepting that we're going to be going to events that are now open. And that's great. It's fantastic that with vaccines and things, we can do that. But on a daily basis, I think the more managed approach is the route we're taking for the immediate future.
I think so. Well, there has been quite a few exhibitions thus far, and they've all gone down very well. From an EI Live point of view, and I haven't really told people this yet, there's a note on our website. We're encouraging all non-double jabbed visitors and exhibitors to have a lateral flow test within 24 hours before they come to the show. We as organisers will have a whole bunch of lateral flow tests on hand, and we will be picking people at random to test them just to see. Masks, we're doing really what Boris seems to be suggesting. Masks are optional. We will have a whole batch of masks on hand if anybody wants them. So, and needless to say, we'll have all the usual hand sanitising stuff around the show. So, you know, we are taking it seriously. And interestingly enough, I haven't had too many people. I've had two exhibitors that have kind of been sceptical about being in one big hall with quite a few people. But that's about it. I think everybody literally is gagging for an exhibition. You know, people are fed up with talking to computer screens. And it's going to be nice, you know, standing, pressing the flesh, as we used to say, and talking to real people.
Well, I may or may not be pressing flesh during the show, but I certainly think the timing's right for events to recommence. And I think we do it within a framework of, you know, sensible precautions. Because
we're keeping in close contact with the venue, the AEO, the Association of Exhibition Organisers. They have been lobbying government right the way through the pandemic, because the exhibition industry lost about, I don't know, 200,000 jobs throughout that, because there was nothing going on. You couldn't put a show on, couldn't do anything. And we're in regular touch with them. The venue's in regular touch with government. So, you know, anything that does come up, new guidelines, I just want to reassure everybody, really, that we will instigate anything that we need to instigate. And if Boris rears his head, then we'll do what we need to do. But it's a question of a safe environment. But there have been a lot of exhibitions, actually, thus far already.
There have, and a lot didn't have many attendees because they tried doing it too early. But I think now is the time where you can. I think you have to do what you can. That and the awards, I think, you know, from my side, I think airflow is something that is important. I mean, we've done all our COVID secure guidance, and obviously that gets updated all the time. But airflow is one that repeatedly comes up. If it feels stuffy, you know, probably an indication that there isn't enough fresh airflow. So certainly with things like the awards, that is also, I think, one of the concerns, where you're actually much closer than you are in the big exhibition hall. It's ensuring there is a supply of fresh air coming through as well.
No, you're right to bring it up, Stuart, and we are organising, as you know. You've seen the communique, I'm sure. The Smart Building Awards are happening in the same place as last year, the Village Hotel. And clearly we are working with the Village Hotel closely. We've bought and paid for the room, so it's all happening and going ahead. And they, obviously being a major chain of hotels, can't afford not to do the right thing. So, you know, again, rest assured we'll have everything we need to do there. plus copious amounts of alcohol, of course, but you know, what can you do? Okay, well, that's about time, so listen out for the next in the EI Live podcast series, which leaves me to say thank you to Stuart Tickle and thank you to James Drummy from AWE Europe.
Thank you.
Cheers, David.
Listen out for the next in the Ascension Install podcast series. So have a great day and goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Essential Install Magazine podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast in your chosen podcast app so you never miss an episode. Stay up to date with Essential Install in print and online. Visit essentialinstall.com.